America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you are listening to an exciting pre-electoral episode of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Filippo D'Anolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Elogi, and Teresa Salmon. Say hi, everybody.
Good day.
Hey.
Hello.
All right, it is November 2nd, 2018. Folks, we are officially 4 days away from zero hour.
This is the go-home show for the election.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in 4 days, we will have the most important midterm election of our generation. And can you feel it getting intense? Because it's getting intense.
Yeah, the dirty shenanigans have already started.
Yeah.
So.
Also, the political violence, that already started, too.
Yeah, that was a couple of weeks ago.
Hmm. Oh, we had some more.
Yeah.
One of which we got to talk about. Hmm. But you've already got the campaign ads are getting more desperate and more openly racist. Hmm. The fear-mongering has increased now that a few in the GOP have realized that, holy shit, the axe is starting to come down, and they can see it coming. So it is predicted, the prediction that I've been hearing so far is that, and I want to emphasize this the absolute best I can, as hard as I can. I'm saying predictions here. Do not allow this to make you complacent.
No.
Okay? Do not underestimate the Republican turnout. Because
if you have not learned that after last year, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, if you did not learn that after 2016, then there's really no helping you. But with that said, it is predicted that, as far as the House of Representatives is concerned, Democrats will gain 26 seats, which is a little over the minimum they need for a majority. Hmm. Now, some, like Jane Kuger, are actually predicting more than that, somewhere around 35.
Hmm. And there's been at least a payback for the shellacking.
And there's been at least one person who has predicted as many as 50, which would basically give them the supermajority.
That's good to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would also mean that Nancy Pelosi would be Speaker of the House again.
Oh, well.
With all that entails. On the other hand, it also means that Maxine Waters would be head of their Communications Committee.
Hmm. So.
And as for the Senate is the real wild card here. Right now in the Senate, it's 51 Republican versus 49 Democrat.
Hmm.
Now, whether or not that's going to change, nobody knows. It is completely a toss-up. It's possible that, you know, Texas is going to vote in Beto O'Rourke for senator.
Hmm.
But there's also some, like, real, like, blue dog Democrat types in the Senate that are very much in danger of losing their seat to more populist Republicans.
Hmm.
It's really good. Yeah, it's the Senate. Nobody really knows. Some have predicted that there will really be no change at all. It's predicted that it might end up becoming a dead tie, which if that's what happens, it's for all intents and purposes is still a Republican majority, because then Pence would act as the tiebreaker.
Hmm.
And he already has developed quite a taste for that.
Yeah. But you know, there are those who are more optimistic, saying the Senate could definitely go in the Democrats' favor. Now, if that happens, it's going to be amazing to see what happens.
Yeah.
If that happens.
Then the Trump administration is done.
Well, no, because guess who still controls the Supreme Court?
Well,
remember, Kavanaugh is a justice there now.
Yeah. We're trying to block that out, but Yeah, that happened.
But however, I would predict a wave of retirements from the liberal justices. You know, now that Trump would not be able to get past Congress anything that they didn't want.
Mm-hmm. At the very least, if the Democrats win the House, that's going to be a major stumbling block for him. Because it basically means that the House, you know, because for any kind of legislation to actually work, it has to be agreed on by both the House and the Senate. And if the House, you know, which has pretty much made it, you know, as if the Democrats, and of course the Democrats have pretty much gotten in lockstep in saying that they absolutely oppose Donald Trump in pretty much any endeavor he wants to, he's pretty much stuck. He is officially a lame duck president. But if we end up getting both the House and the Senate, then yeah, he is absolutely fucked. Because then they can actually make him release his tax returns.
Mm-hmm.
And not like the bullshit recent ones either. I mean, like all of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is, you know, if you haven't voted, you know, if early voting is already over and you haven't voted yet, go vote on Tuesday.
Yeah.
By the way, has anybody here done the early voting?
I wish I could have, but I, because I just recently moved.
Yeah. Okay. So we're all just waiting on Tuesday. Yeah. All
right. I'm probably gonna go tomorrow.
Oh, you are? So yeah. It's isn't that like the last day down there in Illinois?
I think it is. But I've been really watching because we've been having some trouble in my county with our voting machines.
Oh, yeah, I heard something about that.
It has been flat-out switching Democratic votes to Republican.
Yeah, because apparently they put in – there's this little obscure glitch in it where if you do like a – isn't it like where if you vote like a – because don't they usually offer an option where you can just vote straight Democrat?
Yeah, you can vote straight party, and I think you're right. That's where it's being switched.
Because what people realize is if you do that, but then – because, like, after you do that, aren't you allowed to, like, go back and then check before you enter in the final ballot?
It's supposed to be, like, this little printout on some receipt thing that stays in the machine. It has a little window you could look at. But,
Yeah, because people – I'm not sure if it was in Illinois, but apparently it also was happening in another state because some guy actually, like, got their phone out and took a picture of – either the receipt or the screen after they had voted straight Democrat and finding out that the senator that the ballot was cast for was actually the Republican.
Ooh. Yeah. Isn't that kind of illegal, maybe? Yeah.
It is, and it's why, you know, it's one of the reasons why a lot of people down here have started pushing that we need paper ballots across the board.
Yeah. As for me, I'm Canadian, so I can't vote, unfortunately. So.
No.
Yeah.
At least not down here.
No. Up here I did, but yeah, that didn't help us.
Oh, no.
All right. Okay. So, anyway. Okay. So, with that out of the way, it is now time to start off as we always do. So, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So, I've been doing mostly the same stuff as last week. Playing, Shining Force and reading Dune and getting through that. Then I downloaded the Tetris Effect demo that's going on for just this weekend. So it's a time-limited demo. Mm. Holy shit, guys. this is amazing. Probably the best ever iteration of Tetris I have ever played.
This shouldn't surprise no one.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's Tetsuya Mizoguchi. You give Tetris to him and, like, apparently magic happens because, yeah, this is insanely nice. The presentation is, you know, as you would expect from Enhance. Lots of colors, lots of flashies.
Yeah, if you remember playing Rez, it's like that.
Luminous.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really it's like the kind of progression that you get from Lumines, where the music evolves as you progress through the game. You get that in the Tetris Effect, and that's in the Journey mode. So you know that's there and it's enjoyable. And then they have this weird Effects mode, which is kind of like you select a bunch of there's different kinds of variants that you can go through and play Tetris with different styles. In the demo, they have the classic marathon, so clear 150 lines, you know, no big whoop if you're a Tetris player. And then there's they have the other mode that they have unlocked is mystery mode, and this one is just like balls out stupidly insane because it's it's basically random effects happen and you have to deal with them.
Yeah,
and these random effects includes stuff like randomly mixing up your matrix, so that's awesome. Exploding parts of your matrix, that's well, could be good at times. Giving you as your next piece a giant 4x4 block that you have to deal with, so that was fun. And then it gets weird where it starts like messing with your head, where it starts like shifting the perspective of the grid. So instead of like looking straight in, you're now like starting to look upwards, so you have a really weird look of these blocks coming down, and it's like makes stuff very hard to line up, and then it just like goes into like mindfuck territory where it'll just like flip the screen upside down and controls are reversed, so it's like, yeah, deal with this, motherfucker.
Isn't there one where it like starts slowly drawing back the whole field?
Yeah, it's this mode is insane. I haven't made it very far in it. Like, you know, I've gotten about 30, 40 lines, and then I just end up with one weird effect that just, like, messes with me. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to playing more of that over the weekend, and then when it comes out on the 9th, you can bet I'm going to be playing a shit ton of this game. if you don't have PlayStation VR, it's fine. I'm playing it on screen. I don't have VR. I'm not sure if Chris has had a chance to try it out yet. So, yeah, if he's...
Yeah, not yet. I'll probably do a video tonight or tomorrow for it.
Yeah, I've been hearing very good things. Like, if you wanted a good reason for VR to exist, apparently this is it.
Yeah, if from what I've seen, it looks like Area X in Res Infinite, but with Tetris in the middle of that.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it's looking like a really good game. I downloaded the soundtrack that came with it because, you know, you do pre-order and you get the little sampler soundtrack. Really wish they just give you the whole damn thing, but no.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of been it. I'm looking forward to the 9th when that unlocks on my PS4. I'll be able to play more of it and find out whether all of the levels I gamed are going to cross over. I kind of doubt it, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, those are easy to gain anyway. So that's kind of been it for me.
All right, Pat, what about you?
Soul Calibur 6 still owns my soul, and probably will for the foreseeable future. As much as I've been griping about the create character mode and its effects on online play, I've been delving into the creative tools a bit myself, and it's definitely the kind of game that can kind of stoke the creative urges. So... I've been going down that rabbit hole and just been putting in a bunch of characters from some of my past game development projects in there, and that's starting a whole other mess that I'm going to try and make some kind of sense of, you know, in the foreseeable future. And other than that, there were. Halloween is basically a religion at my current job. And as part of the team procedure for what they were going to do as a team this year, I have been introduced to the Harry Potter fandom.
Oh, Lord.
Speaking of rabbit holes.
prepare yourself.
Yeah, there's a lot to it, and I can actually see... I can actually see this actually feeding the Bleach-like appetite that I have for ongoing works and what have you, so... not where I thought I would find such a replacement, but I will take it. And now I just wish that there would be some sort of official manga coming out, like written by Kubo and set at Mahotokoro.
Mm.
That I would read the shit out of that series. So,
all right.
Yeah, that's been my week.
All right. All right, Chris, what about you?
Yeah, so I've been watching Patriot Act on Netflix, which is the new Hasan Minhaj show, which, if you know of his work with The Daily Show, is kind of his own take on that. Actually kind of reminds me of the deep dives that they do on Last Week Tonight, but that's the entire show. So no, like, intro with other news and such. It's just all the deep dive. And sort of like his the show he has on Netflix, the comedy special, where he has this sort of big LCD screen behind him that's doing all these sort of interesting infographics and whatever else, like visual stuff to add to it. He has a similar setup here, where he's on this stage essentially with the ground and the background behind him is all a screen that he can put up. You know, all these images and infographics and just text or whatever up on the screen to enhance the points that they're making. And they had the first two episodes went up last Sunday. I think it's supposed to be every Sunday. The first two are about affirmative action and Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Affirmative action involves this case that is going to be going before the Supreme Court, which concerns Harvard, particularly Asian Americans, which he pointed out, being Indian American himself, sort of has a unique perspective on all this of the like Tiger Dad kind of thing, where they of their incoming freshmen for 2018, I think it was 22% were Asian American, and he like makes a nice joke about the Tiger Dad wants to be 100%. All them. That sort of
thing.
It's like, and so I'm talking about the problems because the guy that's behind this case tried a similar thing like about 10 years ago, but realized that he cast the wrong lead for it, which was a white girl, I think in Texas, suggested that she lost her potential spot to go to like Texas because, you know, supposed like slot stuff for affirmative action to go to like black kids or whatever. Which then he pointed out that there were tons of kids that got rejected and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, it points out sort of the flaws of that and how bad it could be for everybody else. Like, you know, like Caltech as a school that doesn't have to deal with affirmative action, so they have bring in like say 500 kids and only 9 will be not white. That sort of thing. The Saudi Arabia one was all about like the nastiness that comes with dealing with them. Particularly talking about the he's called his MBS Mohammed bin Salman, who was, I guess, talking to, was in the U.S. recently and called up Jared Kushner. Shortly after the killings and all the outrage of that with the journalist. And sort of his response was, why are they so mad? They're not mad about any of the other killings, essentially. They do. And sort of how all that stuff of how Trump is trying to somehow walk this tightrope of trying to keep the Saudi Arabian money coming in, but not trying to be the bad guy in all this sort of thing. And he's obviously not doing well.
Yeah.
He comes up with some of the dumbest excuses for all this. Yeah, it's a really good show. People should definitely check that out. And he just adds a good bit of humor to it, especially with his being also Indian American and a Muslim. Sort of that brings an interesting perspective on the Saudi Arabia because they held two of the holy places. For Muslims,
Mecca and Medina.
Yeah, and that definitely brings some interesting perspective. Also, makes fun of how people call various things like, oh, the mecca of, you know, hockey or whatever, which makes no sense really in the way it actually is for Muslims. But yeah, that's a good show. People should check out. Seems like it's going to get a weekly episode every Sunday. So,
all right. But actually, since you briefly mentioned it, recently a bunch of like Mohammed bin Salman actually held a meeting with a bunch of American evangelicals.
Yeah.
Where they actually, you know, they had like, it was led by Joel Rosenberg, and like it was led by fucking Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah.
Yeah. They held like a freaking like a prayer and shit. It was gross.
Yeah. But yeah, that show is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Also been watching more The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Still, I think I just finished episode 6. Still being really good. Mm-hmm. They went through a little nice battle with a sleep demon. Also a demon that possesses people. Related to one of the characters on the show, but yeah, that's still really quite good, and also has some nice bit of humor in it at times.
Chris, do you consider that one to be kid friendly or not?
No,
so much?
No,
lots of blood, gore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Satanism.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
I remember reading that it was going to be a little more, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's probably a teenager show.
Okay.
But, yeah. Yeah, if you're not willing to show them even some of the lighter horror movies out there.
No.
Yeah, no. And you don't want to. It's definitely not the original show or anything like that. Yeah, as for games, I've been playing more Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I think I finished up all the challenges. That ends with a nice fight with Taskmaster.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I'm probably about 3/4 of the way through that game, as far as getting all the content. Mm. That's. But yeah, I should be finishing up at some point pretty soon. Also been playing a bunch more Rocket League. The Halloween event is ending, I think, on the 5th, so I've been just playing a bunch of it. And I got most of the unlocks for that. Just working on the last few, and yeah, kind of just trying to figure out how the ranking system works, because it's not explained well at all. I had to look up a Wikia and kind of ask some people that actually play the game a ton and figured it out, which is kind of all tied to winning, which when matchmaking, you're not always going to get on the best teams with people that are good, like people that will just abandon the goal the second they think the ball is going, you know, towards the other side. And then something happens, you know, somebody on the other team hits it and it just manages to start going towards the goal and nobody's there. You're like, somebody should have been in goal for that. And people just not playing seriously at all, which the ranking system is all based on wins, as far as I can tell. It's not a skill ranking. So yeah, I've been on a losing streak of bits where a lot of goals just happening at the last minute. It's like, oh, it's tied 2-2, and there's the losing goal going in with 1 second left. Like, really deflating losses. And running into some idiots. That I started reporting them for toxic chat, stuff like that. Which is nice to do. I haven't seen results from that yet. I don't know if they make that known. It's like, oh, this person you reported has been disciplined or whatever, but just people being really shitty in chat. Which you can definitely tell when you're playing people on PC, because they can more easily type that out. Then console people have to bring up the interface. Like, you're not going to do that in game. At least as much. I guess you could have, like, the keyboard attachments for the controllers or whatever. But, yeah, that's been good. And I've been playing more Forza Horizon 4 for some reason. I managed to get all the Forzathon stuff, which the final chapter of that for this past week was required me to get Daredevil bonuses, which generally requires you to get two near misses in quick succession, which there was a problem. There were no cars on the roads. Only other players, which you can't interact with at all, which is kind of a big problem. Like, I would drive around and I'd see two cars, like, oh, okay, get ready, and they just disappear in front of me. I figured out from asking some people, and I had to go into solo mode, which takes you off the live servers, and magically there's cars all over the place, and drivatars as well. So I got it pretty quickly. I was on the highway, which is pretty full. I went back on the live servers and it's empty again. It's like, this game is really fucking broken.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't even play it in the main mode, that is the whole new thing, without it bugging out like that. The game definitely needs some fixes. Yeah, that's kind of been it. I'm probably going to have to do a review of Forza Horizon 4 just to put a nail in that stupid-ass game. I'd be done with it. I get some hard drive space back.
Yeah, get some closure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, how about you, Teresa?
I edited a little something that somebody's working on and got the itch to play a game from 10 years ago. So, I've been playing Defense Grid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like it. Original? It's fun. The original. Yeah, okay. I bought both of them. They were both on Steam sale, but I thought I'd start out with one and see how it is. So, yeah, I've been liking that. Actually ripped me away from working on the perfect game achievement for, oh my god, Plants vs. Zombies. Because sometimes you got to go brain dead, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm only three trophies away for that one, so maybe I'll finish that up by next week. But as far as watching stuff, I'm really behind on all the stuff we're supposed to be watching, like Doctor Who, and I'm behind on The Good Place, and life has been life, but we started Bob's Burgers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had watched the first episode, and I was like, okay, I don't really get what the big attraction is. Watched episode two, and I was like, yup.
Yeah, it has this weird kind of sort of... It doesn't quite work on episode one, but yeah. it starts off pretty quickly. Like, it...
Yeah, two and three were fine. And, mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely going to be watching that, although my brother says, yeah, you're going to get all sick of it after about 15 episodes. You're not finishing. I'm like... That might be your deal, but I don't know if it's going to be mine.
So, yeah, that show kind of starts like home movies for the first episodes. All right, but
yeah.
Once it figures out what it wants to do, it really nails it.
Coach
McGee. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Yeah, yeah. And then I've also been working on getting all of our crap together and printed out so we could get our passports and maybe go places and do things. So,
yeah.
Maybe get them before we're not allowed to get them anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah. A lot of political things have definitely been on my mind lately.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, but it would be nice to, you know, I always enjoy visiting other places and seeing, you know, how they live, how the place is, how things are. And it's, you know, it's eye-opening. It helps you understand so many more things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so, like Red Hot Chili Pepper songs. But that's really been about it, other than working. And my contract is over pretty soon, so I'll get a break from that in a while.
Hmm. All right.
Your life is almost your life again.
Almost.
Yep. All right, well, I guess it's my time now. All right, first things first, I am still playing Red Dead Redemption 2. And that is, we're now at the part where we have officially entered the South. And it's steamy. The air's thick as pea soup. There's kudzu everywhere. And I accidentally was riding through forest through the night and accidentally came upon a clan meeting.
Whoops.
It was hilarious though, because have you guys ever seen that movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Nope. Can't say
that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically he's like, all right, we're getting in a new member, and he's like, brother, do you accept the light? Yeah, yeah. And then he's given the torch to, light the cross. And then he accidentally sets himself on fire. And then all the other guys in the group freak out and run away. Except for the one guy who's the Grand Dragon.
Oh my.
And then I got to sneak up on the Grand Dragon and shoot him in the head.
Hey, awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, it's amazing how much they nailed down that is reality. There's a whole mission in there where, because you're trying to lay low, you get temporarily deputized by the local sheriff's department to go, get a bunch of moonshiners. And it's the dude that you're talking to, who's the actual official deputy that's basically in charge of the particular operation. He's, he acts all friendly and stuff, but he's super duper fucking judgmental at the same time. And it works. You know what it is. It's amazing. It's great shit. Because I gotta go ahead and say it. Toby Fox gave us all a very good Halloween present. Because he sent out what was basically called a survey program, where he was giving you design a proper form for you. So you design hair, head, shirt, legs. And then it tells you now all of your choices are going to be discarded because nobody's choices matter in this world. And then suddenly you're playing the sequel to Undertale.
Okay.
It's called Deltarune. And so it's been a little over 24 hours since the game came out. So I'm not, obviously, because Toby Fox basically gave out a request to everyone who played it to wait 24 hours before they start talking about it. Of course, that didn't happen, but basically, it turned out to be, at first, it looks like a direct sequel to Undertale, because it looks like the type of universe that happens after you finish the pacifist route, but it only takes a little bit before you start to realize that this is actually, everything is a little off. Like, a lot of the characters from Undertale returned, but, their personalities and a lot of stuff is different, but it's basically, I'm not really going to go that much deeper than that, at least probably not until Sunday, but point is, if you played Undertale and you loved it, you absolutely need to play this. And it's basically, for the record, it's also episodic, so right now what you got right now is just chapter one, so it takes maybe a few hours to finish, but like I said, chapter one. And I'm guessing, because technically it is a survey program that he put out, Toby's probably going to be seeing what people do in the game, and the next chapter will react accordingly.
Yeah.
But
so it's like an episodic thing, or
yep.
Yep.
Okay.
So
it's
yeah.
Free too, I think.
Hmm?
It's free too, I think.
Yeah, it's free. And the game, if you have Undertale, on your system, the game acknowledges it. So, other than that, of course, I've been doing my usual reading. I've been reading one of my used to be one of my favorite science fiction writers that I kind of fell away from for a while, C.J. Cherry. I've been reading her book Down Below Station, which was like a Hugo Award winner back in the late 70s. It's basically about, God, how can I put it? It's basically about a sort of a civil war between the Earth group. It's basically like a fucking Gundam Universal Century. There's like a big Earth Federation that's made up mostly of conglomerates who start going out into space to start harvesting resources, but they don't really do much colonization work because, you know, there hasn't been enough, there hasn't really been enough types of material yet that they found that, you know, enough resources that would justify actually, you know, doing a major full-time colony. Until they come across this other planet called Pell's World, where it's so large that it's also already inhabited when they get there, but it's so large and has like so many resources that could be used, they decide to actually start a full-time colony up there. And eventually that colony becomes so successful, it starts sending out its own colonies. And so suddenly, the Earth Federation sort of, homogeneity, its grip on power and influence is now waning. And so they decide to start an invasion and invade Pell's World, decide to sort of take it under their power, and of course the people in Pell's World don't like it, and that's basically how Down Below Station starts. It's basically like a large space station that's part of the overall Pell's World Alliance that's on the verge invaded by the Earth Federation. So it's good stuff. Other than that, I'm just getting ready for autumn. Yeah, it's starting to, the temperature has started dropping, the leaves are changing color, just everybody's gearing up because holidays are almost here again.
Yep.
And that went fast. Yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing. So, has anybody got anything else they want to bring up before we move on?
No, I'm good for now.
Are you sure? Okay. All right, then. Well, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. So today I wanted to talk very briefly about, movie ratings. Since we pretty much have been kids, most of us anyway, there's basically been... five to six regular movie ratings, at least as far as the Motion Picture Association of America is concerned. Does Canada go by something similar, or?
Yeah, we pretty much go by the same ratings as the MPAA.
Yeah.
For Canadian films, we have our own rating, but it's pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah, so there is so we all remember that it's G, which is general audiences.
Yep.
There's PG, which is parental guidance suggested. There's 13, which is parental guidance suggested for anyone under the age of 13. There's R, which is restricted, which is basically... you basically have to be no children can be allowed. Teenagers can come, but they have to be with a parent.
Yeah.
And then there's the little scene NC-17, which means nobody under the age of 17 is admitted, period.
Yeah.
And then finally there's the X rating. Which is usually either straight up porn or so unbelievably super violent that it might as well just be
porn.
Yeah. Now, I mean, on occasion, there have been NC-17 movies that have come out that have been major, you know, phenomenons like Last Tango in Paris, for example, or, you know, some other movies like that.
Yeah. Well, I remember the whole Scarface fiasco that they were trying to really get it so that it wasn't going to get that NC-17.
Yeah, because apparently they actually had to, like, bring in a person who worked for the narcotics unit for the Florida State Police.
Yeah.
Because they didn't believe some of the violent shit was something that, you know, drug traffickers actually did.
Hmm.
Like the chainsaw scene, for example.
Yeah.
But today I want to talk about the second of those, which is PG, parental guidance suggested. Now, today, these days, what is PG? It's like Zootopia, I think Frozen was PG.
Yeah, Frozen, Incredibles.
Incredibles, yeah, some Pixar movies.
Usually family-friendly.
Yeah. Yeah, it, for all intents and purposes, would basically be a G rating if, you know, modern American parents weren't such pussies. But that isn't what the PG meant for a long time. Because, okay, so, like, do you want to hear of a movie that was originally a PG-rated film but ended up getting an R rating later on down the line?
Sure.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay, that's not what I would call...
Okay, so here's the thing. Back in the day, PG meant shit like... Okay, Raiders of the Lost Ark was a PG-rated film.
Hmm.
And how many of you remember Raiders of the Lost Ark? You've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, yeah.
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 And that movie has, you know, it's got dudes having arrows stuck in them. It's got heads exploding, faces melting, you know, gross corpses and shit.
Yeah.
You know, that was a PG movie. Now, how many of you have seen the Texas Chainsaw Massacre recently?
Not recently, but I have seen it.
Okay.
Yeah, not recently.
Now, think about this. Of all the stuff that's in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, how much of it is do you actually see direct gory violence?
Very little, actually.
Think about it now. Very little, surprisingly. Like, the closest you get is that dude at the beginning who starts cutting his own hand, but is, like, obviously so fucking fake.
Yeah.
Even, like, when, like, Leatherface takes that chick and, like, sticks her on the meat hook, you don't really see anything.
Yeah, it's more implied.
Yeah, the thing about Texas Chainsaw Massacre is that for all of its, like, reputation, all of the violence that you see in there is really just implied. There's no, like, actual, like, you don't see, like, anything going through a person. You don't see, like, any actual limbs being sawed off. I mean, you may see, like, remains. You may see, like, stuff suggested. I mean, you'll see, like, all the skin and shit that left that, you know, Leatherface has hanging up in his little butcher room at the beginning. But, no, you don't actually see any of that. And that's why, originally, Texas Chainsaw Massacre was given a PG rating. Because back then, PG meant something completely different to what it means now. In fact, you want to know the reason why there actually is a PG-13 now? I think most people know this, but there's basically one movie that caused it. The Temple of Doom.
Really?
Yeah. Like, okay, so take... Okay, so how many... Okay, I know most of you have seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. How many of you have seen Temple of Doom?
I have.
Okay. Yeah. Compare what you see to Raiders of the Lost Ark to what happens in Temple of Doom.
A lot of the same.
Yeah, there's lots of there's a lot more gross bugs and corpses. There's the weird dinner that they have at that dude that's nowhere near close to what actual Indian people eat. Of course, apparently that's supposed to suggest that something's deeply wrong with them to begin with, but
yeah.
There's a dude gets his heart pulled out of his chest.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot more of that stuff in Temple of Doom.
And the outcry was so great that what we used to call PG became PG-13. And even then, PG-13 movies these days are still, like, so many horror movies have to 13 rating.
Yeah.
So they can get the coveted teen demographic.
Yeah.
So.
The ratings have kind of been kind of whittled down to watered down. I mean.
Yeah.
Don't really have a whole hell of a lot of meaning at this point.
Yeah. And it also doesn't help that, like, the MPAA is notoriously, like, at the same time, they're really puritanical, but also, like, really prurient at the same time. Because, you know, they have no problem with violence, but any kind of actual, like, sexual material will instantly hit your rating up a notch.
Yep.
Especially if it's same-sex material.
Yep. You go straight to R.
Yeah. Or, you know, and if there is even more cursing, then it becomes an NC-17.
Hmm.
It's a really stupid fucking system. People have been predicting for a long time, have been theorizing for a long time that most of their, like, test audiences that they use to make those ratings are mostly made up of California soccer moms.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, but anyway, so there you go. The PG rating. Originally, it actually meant shit. And now it doesn't because American parents are a bunch of fucking wusses.
Yeah.
And that has been Brandon's random factoid.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, so, okay, so now we got the fun shit out of the way. Now we got to talk about the horrible shit.
This story is rated R.
Yeah, it also happened the day after we had our last weekend
for that week. About the last terrible...
Yeah.
Yeah, the dude sending the MAGA bomber.
Yeah.
Well, this week, our asshole of the week, you know who it's going to be. It's Mr. Bowers, went to a synagogue in Pittsburgh and killed 11 people, one of whom was a 97-year-old Holocaust survivor.
Hmm.
Yep.
Apparently, you know, he left like a massive virtual paper trail.
Yep.
Online.
It was all on Gab.
Yeah. Which, by the way, have you noticed something that isn't online anymore?
Gab.
Gab.
Yeah. Where do they get taken down by?
Everybody.
Everybody.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, if you think Nazis Twitter's for Nazis, Gab is really, those are the Nazis that weren't allowed on Twitter.
Yeah. Those are the guys who are way past shitposting and are all the way to we're fucking acting on it.
Yeah, they believe in freedom of speech and freedom from consequences, essentially.
Yeah, freedom of speech in a vacuum, in other words.
It's like, it's cool if you talk about hating Jews and that they're killing everybody and all that. Just don't do anything.
Yeah.
And it's okay. But yeah, this guy went out.
Well, Gab got a really big lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I swear to God, because I have to say this again, you know, places like GoDaddy, etc., they're private companies that basically act as publishers. If they decide to take away their support, it means they've decided they no longer want to publish your web material.
Yeah. Essentially, they don't know, if they don't hear about it, they have no reason to bother you.
Yeah. Again, freedom of speech does not mean that it's just carte blanche to do whatever you want and not face the consequences.
Mm.
Which, unfortunately, most of these dipshits haven't gotten into their thick skulls yet.
Yeah, I'm looking at their Twitter account now. Apparently, they got a new host.
Mm-hmm.
They say our new host supports free speech 100%.
Yeah.
Our new domain registrar supports free speech 100%. Two new senior engineers, new investor. The media just made us more anti-fragile than ever.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to give them another few weeks.
Is there a Nazi host now?
Probably in Russia.
Probably.
Eastern Europe somewhere. But I give him a few weeks. But yeah, I want to make it clear, the whole thing about how, like, you know, the whole thing of like what you say has consequences, this isn't new. Okay. I mean, this has been like the fucking... There's precedent for this shit, okay? We have something called fighting words here in the U.S., you know, and also, you know, the whole, like, yelling fire in a crowded theater. This isn't new, people.
Yeah.
This isn't, you know, this shit... You should have been taught this. Did these people not fucking listen in civics class? Who am I kidding? Of course they didn't.
Yeah, and this guy was very much an anti-Semite.
He was a hardcore anti-Semite.
He believed Trump was not anti-Semitic enough.
Yeah, he thought Trump was a secret Jew.
So while he wasn't a fan of Trump's...
He still voted for him, though.
Yeah, and he still felt emboldened because of Trump.
Yeah.
Well, there's no, like, oh, he has nothing to do with this. Like, no, he does.
He absolutely fucking does.
Especially because they believe that the caravan is funded by George Soros, who is also Jewish.
Yep.
Because,
of course, he all... Fucking George Soros conspiracy theories, man.
That's very much all over Fox News about the...
Yeah.
Yeah,
because desperation. You know, he's the new Rothschild.
Mm.
He's like, you know, and the thing is, for the record, there is some shit that George Soros has been involved in that definitely should earn your ire, but it's got nothing to do with this shit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so... Because of that, he went in and he murdered 11 people in their synagogue. Because if I remember correctly, this is this particular service was hosted by a organization, a very old organization apparently, of a Jewish group that helps helps immigrants and refugees and others in resettling in the U.S.
HIAS.
They've long been like a partner with the U.S. government and everything.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he was so incensed he went back onto Gab before he left.
Mm-hmm.
I can't sit by and watch my people get slaughtered. Screw your optics. I'm going in.
Yeah.
Yep.
And like that should have been a red flag somewhere, but nobody paid attention until it was too late.
Yeah. And which was interesting because he, I think it was this guy that was, no, it was the bomber who was threatening people over the past year or so. And people were,
yeah, he was.
And Twitter said, no, there's nothing wrong here. To which, yeah, there was.
Yeah.
They came back and said, oh, I guess some sort of error happened. And they apologized for that and suspended the account that he had, which doesn't really matter anymore because he's going to prison.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, these people have easier access to making their threats than ever before, so, yeah.
Ugh. But, okay, so I'm guessing during this, eventually the police came around and he ended up getting injured at some point.
Yeah, when he went to trial, he was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Got shot in the leg, I think, at least.
So it turns out, and these end up being our heroes of the week, the Jewish doctors and nurses who actually tended to his wounds.
Yep. They went to Allegheny General Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, much of their staff is Jewish. They talked to the boss, the president of the hospital, who said, isn't it ironic that somebody's yelling in the ambulance and the hospital, I want to kill all the Jews, is taken care of by a Jewish nurse. There's a Jewish hospital president that comes in to check on him afterwards.
Yep.
I think he said, and the first three people who are taking care of him after they arrest him are Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, yeah, ain't that a kick in the pants?
Yep.
See, one of Bauer's nurses was a rabbi's son. Cohen said he took care of this guy. He did everything he could. He was extremely professional.
Mm-hmm.
Cohen said he wanted to try to understand the accused shooter's motive. But in the end, he simply just checked on him like he would any other patient. He asked him how he's feeling. And he was sort of groggy. He said, I'm feeling okay. And I introduced myself as Dr. Cohen, the president of Allegheny General. And I left. FBI agent in charge looked at me and says, I don't know how you did that, because I'm not sure I could have. So, yeah. They said, yeah, we don't really ask questions about who these people are we're helping. We just do what we can because they're our patients.
Yeah. So, holy shit. Fucking hell. I want to point this out. This was the largest anti-Semitic attack in U.S. history.
Yep.
And somehow it just kind of, it's kind of just blended into the news cycle.
Yeah.
Because there's been so much horrible shit that's happened that a mass shooting like this in a synagogue by a known neo-Nazi, back in the 90s, this shit, they would have been talking about this shit for months.
Yeah.
Like, it would have.
A lot of those, like, local stuff would not have made national news as much.
Mm-hmm.
You would have had to have, you know, the Ted Kaczynski stuff and all that be actual huge news.
But now, because of all the horrible shit that happens every week, I'm getting the sense that people are kind of becoming a little numb to it all.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Which is especially dangerous because that is, you know, when people start to become numb to that is when they're most susceptible to being exploited.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
it's
so
not what you want to normalize.
No.
No.
All right, so now to start the proper show proper. Our first story for the night is that the Chancellor of Germany, Angela Merkel, has announced that she will step down in 2021.
Okay.
Which is,
I guess, when her term ends.
Yeah. But it's a little, how to put it, concerning, because Angela Merkel, Angela Merkel, for those who don't know, she is a Christian Democrat. That's the political party she's part of. They've been kind of like a sort of center-right type of political position that's sort of been the mainstream in Germany for a couple decades now.
Yeah.
But what's happened is that now, because of the migrant crisis, the refugee crisis, she came forward and she said, okay, Germany will accept 1 million refugees.
Hmm.
And now there, obviously you could debate to a certain degree if it was a good idea or not to accept that many at that time, all at once like that, but for better or for worse, she managed to handle it pretty well. Germany still has its issues, and one of the things is that the far right has been making a slow resurgence over there.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately, Germany has a thing in their constitution called fortified democracy, which basically means that part of the reason why you have been able to see no, like, real far right political parties, even alternative for Deutschland for most of it has managed to stay mostly out of power in Germany, even though it's only had, it's got a few seats in the parliament, is because in Germany, any group that's considered too extremist and, could threaten the German democracy can be declared illegal by the state.
Good.
They can have their newspapers seized. They can have their party records seized. And of course, everybody knows about how, you know, they're very touchy about old Third Reich symbolism. They're getting a little better at it now. They've started making it now so that they take video games on a case-by-case basis. So, but, you know, they don't play around with that shit.
Yeah.
No.
In fact, they've actually got it in their constitution that says, if worse comes worse, as a last resort, the people of Germany are given the legal right to resist by force of arms. So, but now that Angela Merkel is stepping down, there's this vacuum that's going to be there. And it's going to be, I don't want to say interesting, But it's going to be engaging to see if the far right tries to fill that vacuum and how successful they will be.
Hmm.
All right. Yeah.
I would say nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
If you're in Germany right now, it's going to be a very touchy time, so to speak.
This is where we need that Ralph Wiggum, I'm in danger.
Speaking of countries that are now in danger, next story. In Brazil, the far-right candidate Jair Bolsonaro has won Brazil's presidential election.
And people keep calling him Brazil's Donald Trump, but he's worse than that.
Oh, he has actual
experience
than that.
In the government to know how to take it.
Yeah, he was a part of the military junta that used to govern Brazil. Yeah.
He's been open about wanting a democracy or a dictatorship.
Wanting a dictatorship saying the junta didn't kill enough people. He's very misogynistic and just racist. Extremely paranoid. The reason people compare him to Donald Trump is because so many of his supporters are like, well, yeah, he's saying shit, but he's not going to really do that when he gets into office. And then just today, there were announcements that apparently he's going to be sending out police to keep track of quote-unquote incendiary teachers.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so Brazil basically just made the mistake that Americans did 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a lot of them were very much doing the same thing we did. It was like, there's no good choices. It's like, there's one guy who thinks good cops kill people, and there's one that is kind of wanting normalcy.
Yeah.
There's one now, that is clearly worse.
It needs to be emphasized. One thing that needs to be emphasized was that until recently, Brazil was being governed by the Workers' Party, which was a center-left party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But recently they had what was called, I guess it was called Operation Car Wash, and it was found that that Brazil's government was it's a very sort of complicated scandal, but basically it means a shit ton of money laundering in the Workers' Party, so much so that there's been over 200 indictments so far.
Ooh. Yeah.
It's more like 400. It actually dwarfs the indictments we've gotten here in the U.S. so far.
Jesus Christ.
And that includes the former president.
Yeah.
I think it's still popular.
Yeah, he is.
I think somebody was saying, look to
who he was going up against.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think somebody was saying if he was still able to run from prison, he could win the election.
Probably, but...
Which would save them the trouble of having to arrest him again.
Yeah.
Just sit there.
Yeah, it actually... The people who were campaigning for the Workers' Party candidate, basically, their one and only tactic they could do was to do everything they could to... mix up the legacy between the two.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Between the current and former.
Yeah, it kind of feels like they made bad choices in previous elections, so they decided, we're just going to make another bad one.
Well, basically because of that whole scandal, the left has lost a lot of legitimacy to the average Brazilian.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, what it means is that they've basically
walked right into
ran straight into the arms of Mussolini.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, oh, hey, these guys are corrupt. Let's just go to a guy that just wants to tear everything down. Potentially ruin the world because he's potentially going to privatize the Amazon jungle.
Hmm.
He's also started communicating with our president, Donald Trump. And apparently they're thinking it's been making noise that he wants to invade Venezuela.
For reasons.
Well, two reasons. One, it makes good because, Nicolas Maduro is a good boogeyman. Two, that's Venezuela true. Is oil rich.
Hmm. I'm just going to check here. This is still the year 2018,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're not done yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, this isn't 1937, is it? No,
right,
no.
Right, no, no. It feels that way.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a history.
Man, are we going to have stories to tell the grandkids?
Yeah.
Yeah. Grandpa, why do we live in a cave? Well, see, back when I was a kid, when I was young, the world blew up.
I think there's the one comic where guys talking to kids over campfires, like, for a brief time, it really made some great value for the for our investors.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, God. Okay, well, now for some fun. Because, you know what's, what can solve that bit of, awful news is finding out somebody who tried to do something awful but was so fucking incompetent at it that, we could see the fallout in real time. Okay, so, until, somewhat recently, this guy named Jack Berkman, who's a notorious Republican lobbyist and also a kind of, well, he's a con man, basically, to say it.
Yeah.
He started making noise on his sort of little vanity news project he has, saying, we have begun getting some information, and we are announcing that somebody is going to be bringing sexual assault allegations against Robert Mueller. Then people started to ask, okay, so where is, like, all this information coming from? The information was coming from this private intelligence firm called Surefire Intelligence.
Which didn't really exist.
Yeah, people started to look a little bit into Surefire Intelligence, and they started to notice that they were all linked to this guy named Jacob Wall, a 20-year-old blogger for the Gateway Pundit.
And whenever you see, like, Trump-related things trending on Twitter, he's usually one of the top commenters.
Yeah.
Saying bullshit?
Yeah, and so as people started to pick apart it, it basically showed that basically Surefire is basically a shell company. All of its supposed members who are, like, intelligence, who are employees, they looked into, like, their Facebook profiles, and they're all of, like, clip art and famous people. And then finally, they looked into the number that you use to reach Surefire Intelligence, and it turns out it links to his mom's iPhone.
Wow. That's that's class right there. Mm-hmm. Throw your mother under the bus.
So up until this happened, Jack Berkman had announced there was going to be, like, this big press conference. The victim was going to come forward and give their allegations. And then, of course, once people realized it was nothing but a bunch of bullshit, they announced, no, the accuser has fled for her life because she's afraid. So then they decided to hold the press conference, and it was glorious.
Yeah, well, before this, Robert Mueller got wind of this.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hey, FBI, you should probably look into this.
Oh, yeah, like I forgot about that.
Here. So there's potential federal prosecution could be going on around this.
Yes, there is a federal case that's going to be made out of this, of course. But so here's another fun part. So they had the press conference. Jack Berkman's fly was open the entire time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then Jacob Wall got up to give his speech, and instead of, like, talking about the intelligence or stuff he had found, he basically whined his ass off for, like, an hour and a half, saying about people being mean to him online. Jack Berkman claiming this kid was a genius, that he had surpassed Mozart, he was going to be a big name in the history books.
There's the whole thing about how he doesn't believe women in sexual assault cases.
Yeah.
But this was the one, I guess, that convinced him otherwise.
Yeah. Just for the record,
huge red flag right there.
Yeah. Also, just for the record, and I say this from experience, Jacob Wall is definitely on the spectrum somewhere. Yeah, but those are our dumbasses of the week. New segment we got there. Jacob Wall and Jack Berkman.
Yeah, I think somebody at the press conference asked him, so are you ready for prison? Are you prepared for that?
Yeah.
I said, no, we're not going to prison.
I think you may very well be.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, like, oh, you tried to do these false allegations, and shows why there are no women that really take up those sorts of offers. Because they don't want to get every part of their lives invaded by the general asshole public. It's not paid well enough for that. Because there are people who have been trying to do that, and I think usually the women are like, yeah, this isn't enough money for this. So they say it's some fashion designer from California, which all their details are very bland. They don't really say anything. So that's where you know, okay, I think they gave out a name and nobody's been able to figure out who this is.
Yeah. Probably some clip art that they found somewhere.
Yeah. She is a gal who has an illustrious background and she is not politically oriented. We went through every meticulous detail of her allegation. We cross-referenced it with public records. We joined historical societies to get some of those records. They were in the process of going to police with the woman's allegations. Would file a report by the end of next week. I think also a big point is when this happens, supposedly happened in New York City, he was in Washington, D.C. for jury duty. That's public record.
Yeah. So no, it couldn't have happened.
Yeah.
It's like you had time to adjust this stuff with a couple days difference between these two things.
Yeah.
They said, nope, we're going to go and wing it. Like you could have came with your tail in between your legs and ran off.
Yeah.
Nope, they did it.
Yeah. So we might as well go ahead and go through it because, we got a Trump dump this week.
It's a short one, at least.
Yeah, so we'll go through these fairly quickly.
Just the runs.
Yeah, so first thing we got is Trump announcing that he wants to send 15,000 American troops to the U.S.-Mexico border. He claimed he did because he wanted to fend off the caravan, which, by the way, hasn't even Mexico yet.
They are literally
1,000 miles away.
Yeah.
It's like they're moving at such a pace they won't get here till maybe when this order is done.
Yeah, and also it's shrunk. The numbers have shrunk too. It's only about 3,000 people now. Because, as what I had already said was going to happen, most of them were going to try and settle in Mexico.
Yeah.
This is all being played up just for the midterms.
Yeah. Also, just a little while ago, the Pentagon announced, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah, good.
There was a point where he was suggesting they should shoot anybody throwing rocks and then tried to take that back.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, everybody can fucking see what the hell you're trying to do.
Yeah.
It's just the people in his base that are the only ones that really believe any of it.
Yeah. Especially if you're trying to send like 15,000 troops who may have voted against you right before the midterms where they may or may not have had the chance to vote.
And basically taking them out of their families' homes for Thanksgiving and holidays. Yeah.
15,000, by the way, that is three times the number of people we've sent to Iraq.
Yeah, and that's like we only have about 2,000 that work on the border. 2,000 National Guardsmen.
Yeah.
It's like saying, okay, that's not enough. We need to go 7.5 times that.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, luckily that didn't go anywhere.
Yep. But, golly. Then, of course, now Trump has decided that he wants to end birthright citizenship, which, number one, he can't do.
Down goes the 14th Amendment. Down goes the 14th Amendment.
Yeah.
She'd be like, okay, if you want to take that down, how about we take a look at the Second Amendment?
All right.
Yeah, let's get rid of that one, too.
Yeah, there were actually – so, like, TYT sent out one of their people over to a major Trump rally when people started talking about this, and there was, like, people saying, like, well, yeah, I mean, the Constitution's, like, almost 300 years old. It needs to change every so often. Motherfucker!
Yeah, that's what amendments are.
Yeah, it's like
on occasion.
Aren't these assholes supposed to be constitutional originalists?
Only when it suits them.
Yeah. And then, of course, like, and you brought up the Second Amendment thing. She actually did the same thing. She said, well, then, should we do about the Second Amendment? He's like, no, never. I was like, God damn
can't
it.
Have one
just...
without the other.
Yeah, so he can't do anything about it, at least directly.
Mm-hmm.
He supposedly signed an executive order to do this, but it can't work. Maybe you have to get the Supreme Court, but even then, it's not going to be a very popular thing.
Yeah.
Because I think it's actually one of the cooler things we do. I think Canada's has the same thing.
Yeah, Canada and Mexico.
Yeah.
Actually, 33 countries actually do birthright citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
And Canada.
You tried to say we were the only ones.
Yeah. No, we're not.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, if Trump opens his mouth, you can pretty much be assured at this point that what comes out of it is bullshit.
Yeah.
I think he was also saying Harry Reid, who was one of the top Democrats back in the 90s, was arguing for this, and then he got a coaching from his wife about it. It's like, oh, yeah, I kind of fucked up on that. and saw reality,
yeah.
What it was, and learned why it wasn't a good thing. It's like, okay, if you do this, like, how would it affect all the families currently in the country?
Yeah.
Would that mean Trump's grandparents who are from Germany?
Yeah.
Are legal citizens?
Would mean that basically Trump couldn't live in the States anymore? So,
or he couldn't be a president anymore?
Yeah, because then he wouldn't be an American citizen, so...
I mean, we might make that trade.
Well, the thing is, though, is that because Donald Trump is the father, apparently there's this weird thing where, like... You know, since he's one of the parents, then that person would automatically have American citizenship. That's the reason why John McCain was able to run for president. Because his dad was an American citizen. But, and then finally, so do you guys remember way back around the time of... I think it was around 1989, 1990, when Bush and Dukakis were going head-to-head for the presidential election, and suddenly they started talking about this guy named Willie Horton.
Vaguely.
Yeah, Willie Horton was a convicted murderer in, I think it was, Michigan?
Hmm.
Well, what was the state that Michael Dukakis had been governor for? I can't remember. But anyway, the point is, Willie Horton was a convicted murderer. Who was considered a flight risk, and at some point he was allowed to go free on a work... Massachusetts, yeah, it was Massachusetts, on like a work release program, and then he went and killed a couple of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically many people sort of credit that with killing Dukakis' chances. Well, that and that bullshit photo op he did on a tank, but that's another story. Well, the Republicans did their equivalent. They put out an ad about a Mexican cop killer.
Luis Bracamontes.
Yes, and blaming the Democrats for letting this guy in. By the way, this guy got in when George W. Bush was president.
Well, he got in before that. Clinton's administration deported him.
Yeah.
Came back in under George Bush, George W. Bush. Then I forget what's happened after that. They eventually went on to kill cops in California, I think it was.
Yeah.
Ended up getting arrested. Somehow Joe Arpaio got involved with this.
Mm-hmm.
Came into custody of him, and he let him go off of whatever bullshit charges he was with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's basically... the people of the GOP and Joe Arpaio, who allowed this all to happen.
Yeah, and this ad has zero facts whatsoever.
And it's also really, really racist.
Yeah. Yep.
Shockingly racist.
I mean, you get George Bush, Trump, and Joe Arpaio together, and it's not going to be anything else but that.
Yeah. Mm. But like I said, folks, do not underestimate the Republican voting base. Go out and vote Tuesday if you haven't voted already.
Yeah, it's... I think a number of GOP people have had to distance themselves from this.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they get quotes from, like, Jeff Flake, who doesn't matter at all in any of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will support whatever...
Because he's not running for re-election.
Out of a job.
Yeah. So that was the Trump dump for this week. All right, next up. Over in the People's Republic of China, they have announced that they are overturning the ban on the use of tiger and rhino parts for medicine.
Yep.
They
say they're going to heavily control the trade.
Yeah.
For this stuff, which nobody
control believes. And regulate.
Yeah. This involves rhino horns and tiger bones mainly.
Mm-hmm.
That are generally still illegal, but
yes.
They would allow trade of those parts for medical research or in healing.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, isn't that all a bunch of woo anyway?
Or does it actually...
Yeah, but there's still some
money in it.
Holistic belief in that, and people willing to do it. But it also states that these bones and horns can only be obtained from farmed rhinos and tigers, not including those raised in zoos. Which is also sort of a fucked up thing. Like, oh yeah, we raise these rhinos and these tigers so we can kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do it for cows. So
yeah, and now we're paying with it with greenhouse gases.
Yeah,
they fart so much. But yeah, basically they announce all this stuff, and it's like, yeah, in a perfect world, this might work, but you're China.
Yeah.
And I think both these species overall are under 10,000 each.
Yeah, they're definitely on the endangered species.
So we should not be risking any of them.
Mm. Yep.
And we have species of, I believe, both that are extinct at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Are on the verge of being extinct and should not be giving poachers any more reason to continue their shit.
Yeah.
All for these holistic bullshit.
Yeah. Now, for the record, and it needs to be pointed out, so the way that China's system works is that they have something, because obviously it's a pseudo one-party state. I say pseudo because there's actually like eight other parties that sort of act in a united front with the Communist Party, but the party has something called the Organization Committee, and it's basically their form of a human resources department. And if enough people in China make a fuss about it, then this might be in jeopardy. But until then, you can pretty much just assume that it's going to happen. So
Yeah,
so I guess we are at about 32,000 rhinos left, about 3,900 tigers.
Yeah.
So not much for the tigers especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, well, next up, hopefully soon-to-be former Senator Ted Cruz tried to celebrate Halloween by jokingly posting one of the Zodiac Killer's letters on his, what was it, Twitter or Facebook?
Twitter.
It didn't work.
Yep, sort of leaning into the whole Zodiac Killer joke that's been going on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone could have told him this would go badly.
Yeah, he's apparently tried this before, but nobody really paid attention that time. Mm-hmm. I was replying to Ben Sassy. But yeah, he did it this time around, and a bunch of people were like, yeah, no, fuck you. and they got a bunch of tweets from people. Some people altered it so that they have GIFs where it's like, oh, here, I found the message, vote for Beto O'Rourke. that sort of stuff. So we're like, yeah, weren't a bunch of people killed by this guy? Why would you joke about that?
Yeah.
Why would you vote for him either?
And there's people who are like, as a lifelong Texas voter, I'm very disappointed Ted Cruz would be so flipped about a real-life serial killer, planning voting a straight GOP ticket, but now I'm thinking about holding my nose and voting for Beto just to make a statement. Sure, go for that.
Yeah, do that.
Yes, do that, please.
Please, for the love of God, please.
Yeah, here's another one. No one chokes like Ted Cruz. No one croaks like Ted Cruz. No one takes the fun out of jokes like Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Which there's a good SNL bit that aired a few weeks ago about a Ted Cruz rally.
Yeah.
And he tries to go use the microphone and it falls apart in his hands. He tries to bounce a basketball. It deflates as it hits the ground.
Yeah.
He tries to fire a confetti gun. It just spits out like a watery mess of confetti.
That yeah. is accurate.
And
yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's
fun out of everything.
I think he goes to get like a high five and his nose starts bleeding. basically like trying to say he's the fun guy and everything goes wrong for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got some more here. Imagine being so genuinely awful as a human being that you had to literally pretend to be a serial killer to be more likable.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting U.S. Senator cracking jokes about being the unapprehended killer of five people, including one 16-year-old girl. Here's a quote, sort of fake comment, fake quote. Here's an amusing tweet that pokes fun at the fact that when people see my face, they think about one of the creepiest serial killers in American history. yeah, so.
Yeah, that's not gone well for him, but
nope.
I think his chances are going well either.
No.
At least one can hope.
Yeah.
Anyway.
His pinned tweet, it says, a brand new poll shows we're only, quote, ahead by inches. I guess that's good news for him.
Yeah.
We're fairly ahead.
Yeah.
Nothing goes wrong.
All right.
We're about to lose. Yay.
Yeah. All right. So, next up. I'm not sure. I don't think we talked about this last week. Over in Kansas, there's like a, I think it's like a medical university or something, a medical school. They have this giant inflatable colon that you can walk into.
Colon Cancer Coalition.
Yeah, and the point is to go inside, and it shows you sort of like what the progression of colon cancer looks like.
Yep.
Gross.
Yeah. You know, I mean, funny enough, that there is a bunch of like, all over the world, they have like medical schools that and organizations that make these kind of like you can walk into the inside of a human mouth or a human body or whatever, the digestive system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can get
lots of museums built around that stuff.
Yeah, so you can actually go in and see what it looks like.
So it's basically the magic school bus gone horribly wrong.
Yeah, pretty much. But it actually does have like good education. Yeah, and it does have, like, an actual educational use.
Yeah.
Well, then somebody stole it.
Yep.
You got to be really determined to do this.
Yeah.
And you got to do it at probably the middle of the night, because there's no way you're moving that without somebody noticing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, this week, Kansas City Police finally found it. And now they're probing for who took it.
Oh.
Giggity.
Yep. Yeah, they tweeted out, breaking, we have recovered the stolen colon. Thanks to a tip, officers found the giant inflatable pilfered intestine, which is not a colon. It's not how it's not what it is. In a vacant house in the 7100 block of Virginia. No one in custody yet. Investigation is continuing. Hashtag stolen colon. That's a real hashtag people were using to spread awareness of it. It got reported as potentially being there.
Yeah.
There was a finder's fee, I think $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
But they still have to do more investigation to figure out that this wasn't the person that stole it, so they could get $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's really what's going on in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is mostly flat and, you know, not a whole hell of a lot going on over there, so, okay.
Yeah.
It was a notion that it ended up in an abandoned house.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway. All right, so next story. By the way, if you haven't noticed, we are now officially out of the serious part of the show.
Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. Next up, it's now after Halloween. You know, Halloween is now come and pass. And there are a few things worse in Halloween than getting shitty candy.
Yeah.
Like candy corn. So Reese's decided, hey, let's make a machine and install it so that you can put your crappy Halloween candy in it, and we'll give you Reese's Cups.
Yep. Hmm. That probably went really well.
Yeah,
and there was much rejoicing.
It was installed on, let's see, October 28th, during a Halloween parade in Tarrytown, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's where it was first put out. I think it was also put out on Halloween in downtown New York.
Mm-hmm.
Basically just go up to it, put a piece of candy in there, it goes down into whatever holding chamber it has, and then it releases one of the single serving Reese's Cups.
Yep.
And they did this because, according to a recent survey commissioned by Reese's, 90% of Americans say they have traded or wish they could have traded their unwanted candy on Halloween. And they found out that Reese's was the number one candy through this survey they paid for. So,
well, I mean, have you ever had Reese's Pieces?
I mean, it is the best.
Yeah,
Reese's Cups Reese's and Reese's
Cups
Pieces.
Pretty damn awesome.
They even have Reese's Pieces in peanut butter cups.
Yep. Mm.
So, they also have Reese's Cup spread, which is amazing.
Oh, just the peanut butter?
Yeah.
It's just chocolate and peanut butter.
Yeah, and you put it on your bread. Oh, it's awesome. But anyway.
Seems like a contender with
Tala.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also Biscoff spread, which is like sex in a jar, so...
Yeah, it's like normal peanut butter, but it's made out of fucking cookies!
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, they put this out on Wednesday from 4 to 9, and I guess they expected about 10,000 peanut butter cups to be taken out of it, so as long as they put in it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't
it ran
see,
out really quickly.
I don't know, I didn't see any news stories following up on it.
Yeah.
I just saw
that's probably because the whole city then erupted into violence.
Yeah.
When it ran out.
Yeah, all I saw was just a couple of videos on Twitter of people walking up to it, putting, like some shitty candy. I'm trying to think of what it was.
Yeah, I don't know. We know those things. They're just those crappy fruit candies that you get at the dollar store.
Or like Swedish fish or...
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw somebody doing like a tournament of candy, Halloween candy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing it like March Madness style. They had like Swedish fish as a 4 rank in one of the tournaments. I was like, that's way too high for that shit.
Yeah.
Like,
what did candy corn rate? Like at the very
like
bottom?
It was like a 7 seed. And it's conference. Like, that's an 8 easy.
Mm-hmm.
If they're a Swedish fish, those would be the bottom of their conferences facing the top one. I think the top four that came out of each of the brackets was Kit Kat, Reese's, Skittles, and Twix.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of Twix, so I could have gotten rid of that one, but those other three are pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it beat Nerds. I was like, how the hell is nobody voting
How is that possible?
Nerds is pure sugar. That's
yeah.
all.
Yeah, it's like fucking sugar coated in sugar.
It's crunchy sugar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Crunchy sour sugar. It's like, that's the best.
Mm-hmm. But, so next up, we got a science news. The Kepler Space Telescope is retiring. It's run out of fuel, and it's going to be passing the torch to the TESS. So NASA officially said goodbye to it this week.
Yeah, it's officially run out of fuel. They managed to use the last bit of it to do a little bit more work and then send all the data to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it'll be essentially... I don't think it's here, but I saw a nice GIF showing the... I was just going to be running slower than the Earth. It kind of runs its own orbit around the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of be just slowly falling behind over the next few years. But yeah, the Kepler telescopes have helped us find about 26,000 or 2,600 suns or planets out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the most common size of planet Kepler found doesn't actually exist in our solar system.
Mm-hmm.
It's between the size of Earth and Neptune.
Mm.
But also found plenty of systems that have so many planets orbiting around their suns, even some that, a lot of that are close to the stars, that it makes our solar system look pretty sparse by comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they say here, when we started conceiving this mission 35 years ago, we didn't know of a single planet outside our solar system. Now that we know planets are everywhere, Kepler has set us on a new course that's full of promise for future generations to explore our galaxy. Mm-hmm. It launched on March 6, 2009. Combines cutting-edge techniques measuring stellar brightness with the largest digital camera outfitted for outer space observations at the time. And was originally positioned to stare continuously at 150,000 stars in one star-studded patch of the sky in the constellation Cygnus. Kepler took the first survey of planets in our galaxy and became the agency's first mission to detect Earth-sized planets in the habitable zones of their stars. And so it kind of grew in scope because it's finished its primary mission 4 years in. And they've been kind of using it for a bunch of other stuff since then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, but, I mean, it was still out there. So.
Yeah, but they also had mechanical failures that halted observations for a bit. If you remember, it was down for a bit. They had to figure out how to fix it. It basically switched the spacecraft's field of view roughly every 3 months. That enabled them to extend their mission and just keep looking for stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, and Bump Kepler's count of surveyed stars up to more than 500,000. And we've learned a ton about that, about the other stars, planets, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's going to be replaced by TESS, which is the, Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, which builds on Kepler's foundation with fresh batches of data in search of planets orbiting some 200,000 of the brightest and nearest stars to the Earth.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully we don't find any Dyson spheres with contained aliens in there. That would be bad.
Yes, that would be very, very bad.
Yep.
Mm. All right. All right, next up in science news, we have now, it is believed that we have found the potential savior for a vaccine that could go against all known forms of influenza. It's the llama. Mm.
Maybe we should stop kicking its ass.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Might be a bit.
Yeah, so we have scientists that have figured out that antibodies that the llamas produce are a potential solution to almost all flus, including pandemics. So as we know, flu changes every year. Yeah. It evolves, but the thing that's different about llama, the antibodies in llama's blood, is that it is much smaller than ours. Hmm. So that allows it to get deeper into the proteins of the virus and get a bit deeper to the parts of its DNA that do not change with each new cycle. And that's sort of the thing that will allow that to be able to attack flu kind of at its core, instead of just trying to adapt to the parts that change and make it different. So they get it. Yeah, they get a bit deeper and attack the parts that flu cannot change. This is at the Scripps Institute in California. Infected llamas multiple types of flu to provoke an immune response. Then they scour the blood for the most potent antibodies that could attack a wide range of flu strains. They pick four and then set about building their own synthetic antibody that use elements from each. It was tested on mice that were given deadly doses of influenza. And one of the researchers said, it's very effective. There were 60 different viruses that were used in the challenge, and only one wasn't neutralized. Hmm. That's a virus that doesn't infect humans. As it says here, the goal here is to provide something that would work from season to season, also protect you from possible pandemics should they emerge. It's still in very early stage of research, and they want to do more tests before starting human trials. But, they've tried two approaches in giving the animals the antibody, one of which is obviously injection. The second type is a type of gene therapy. So there's genetic instructions for making the antibody that are packaged up inside a harmless virus, which is then used to infect the noses of the mice. The cells in the linings of the nose then started making the flu-killing antibody, and the additional advantage of that approach is that it would work in the elderly. since they cannot really get these vaccines.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it provides a potential new path for these vaccines that will hopefully change all of this.
Mm. Yeah. And we can say llamas. It really whips the flu's ass.
Yep. But now it's going to be basically up to how easy it is to produce this stuff and the cost involved with that, getting it down to the cost that flu vaccines are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that with something that shows so much promise, I can't imagine that they wouldn't pursue it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, all right. Next up, we start the entertainment portion of the show. So The Simpsons has been under a lot of fire recently due to the fact that the character Apu is, let's just say he was basically created as a racial stereotype.
Yeah.
As a caricature.
Very.
And it's not really gotten much better as much as they've tried to.
And the people in charge of the show haven't gotten any better really.
Mm. Yeah. So basically they've just decided to throw up their hands and write him out of the show.
Hmm.
Yeah, not the greatest result.
Which is really an indictment of how shitty The Simpsons have gotten recently.
Yeah, that they the people in charge of the show don't even want to really attempt to evolve the character.
Yeah.
No.
Because one of the producers, Adi Shankar, kind of sought community involvement for a script that would help evolve him in a way that makes him better for everybody. And it says here his primary hope is that Fox would produce the script as an episode of The Simpsons. But now he has found out that what he calls the perfect script that he has heard from the people who work on the show that The Simpsons is eliminating the character altogether. So, yeah.
Yeah. Basically, they don't want to deal with it, and that's it.
Yep, I think this happened on the October 14th episode, where Apu only appears in a single wide shot. The show has dozens of characters gathered around God, and that's basically it.
Yeah.
Joy.
Well,
congrats, Simpsons, on being completely inept.
Yeah. You know what? They just need to fucking fire all the writers and get some new ones.
Yeah, or just end the show.
Yeah, just
really.
The show at this point has outlived its usefulness.
Hmm.
Just
it's not funny anymore.
No,
first few seasons were amazing.
Yeah,
it's got
maybe if they got to a point where characters actually aged.
Yeah,
like that would be an interesting twist. But having Homer's like origin story change from being in the '70s to being in the '80s to being, fan of Nirvana as a teenager. It's like, this just doesn't really make any sense anymore.
Yeah.
Like, just let poor Bart and Lisa go to high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential there alone.
Yeah.
That's why...
What if Springfield was purgatory?
Yeah, that's... There's a lot of potential. That's a theory I've heard.
Yeah. That's sort of why Mission Hill was made. They featured the sort of groups of characters that weren't in The Simpsons, which was... teenagers and young adults in their 20s.
That is a show that did not get its due.
Nope.
No.
Yeah, they got fucking suckered by, I think it was WB.
Yeah.
They're one of those cartoons where WB and ABC, like in the late 90s, early 2000s, were trying to get their own Simpsons. And they suckered some people in for some great shows that just didn't get the push they needed.
They ended up sending a bunch of them out to die.
Yeah, if you get the DVD for Mission Hill, you can listen to the commentary and talk about the second season, which had Andy becoming actual successful cartoonist and sort of going in that direction.
Wow.
With him as a character. And there was some really cool stuff in the works for that, but they obviously never got to go beyond the first season.
Yeah.
Which is still a great one that people should definitely check out.
Hmm.
And see what cartoons... like adult cartoons were like in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
That weren't fucking Spike bullshit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway. So, next up. So, back in the 90s, there was this movie that came out called Bad Boys. It had Will Smith and Martin Lawrence in it.
Yep.
Yeah. It was a buddy cop movie, kind of. Yeah.
Sort of a and Black Cop movie. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Hmm. It was all right. Then there was a sequel that came out called Bad Boys 2.
Yeah.
It was directed by one Michael Bay.
Yeah.
It was hot garbage.
Yep.
But it was really flashy and you know, exciting to watch. So even though the critics basically took a giant dump on it, it broke. Oh, it made some box office records.
Yep.
And now this week it was announced that there's going to be a Bad Boys 3. Uh-oh. And yes, Will Smith and Martin Lawrence will both be in it.
Yep. And they're both kind of aged now, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That basically be Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
I'm too old for this shit.
Either they hand it off to the new generation, and if Michael Bay is involved, they're probably going to go to space. I would say
keep Michael Bay far, far away from it.
Yeah, he's not going to be involved in this.
Thank you, God. He's going to be
directed by Adil L. Arby and Bilal Falla, who worked on Black and Gangsta. I had not seen
those
movies.
Either of those movies. Yeah. So.
Nope.
Couldn't tell you if they're good or not.
I'm sure those are easy to Google search for.
Yeah. But, actually, no, well, no. Black movie or gangsta movie, yeah, you're going to get a lot of weird.
All right, I found it. Yeah. It came out this year, Gangsta.
Hmm. Okay.
You know what the worst part about Michael Bay is? The fact that if you go through his film, his catalog, his career, there is some talent there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's known for directing what's considered to be one of the greatest commercials ever made, which is the first Got Milk commercial. He also directed some good music videos and stuff. Yeah. And the dude has talent, but he has at some point realized that he is 100% in it for the money at this point. He really, there is no artistic or no creative drive for him anymore.
Yeah.
And he makes it he's pretty open about the fact. I mean, when Transformers 5 was coming out, he basically said, I don't care what the critics say, you people are going to watch it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was hard garbage, but they watched it anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think Armageddon's a personal favorite of mine.
Yeah.
It's also got him into, like, disaster movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that movie about that island that I can't remember the name of.
The Rock.
No, it wasn't that.
No. It was, the Island?
I'll have to look it up, but yeah. It was actually actually a very good movie.
Oh, are you talking about Pearl Harbor?
No. That was I'll look it up.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that. Michael Bay directed a romance movie based around Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have it on Blu-ray for some reason.
It was awful.
Yeah, it got made fun of in Team America.
Yeah. Like, it was legitimately awful.
Mm.
But, I mean, it was right around the time Titanic had come out, so...
Yeah.
This type of thing was in vogue.
Mm.
Anyway.
Man, there's Transformers 8 and 7.
Yeah.
It's on his list of upcoming stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay, next up on directors who probably need to quit while they're ahead, Ridley Scott is working on Gladiator 2.
I'm pretty sure the first Gladiator ended pretty well.
Yeah.
Don't think you really need a sequel.
I don't know why there's a sequel, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I think they have been working on it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They've had some scripts made for it for over the past, like, 15 years or so. Some that I guess are really bad, but this one, they have... let's see, Peter Craig as the scriptwriter, who worked on The Town and two of the Hunger Games movies.
Yeah.
As well as 12 Strong and the upcoming Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, God. That movie should have stayed in the 80s.
And he's also working on the remake for Logan's Run that Warner Brothers is working on.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Some okay stuff, but Yeah, I don't know why he's working on this, of all things.
Nobody else does either, apparently.
Yeah, because I guess they mentioned some rumors here that he was working on like a coming-of-age Merlin movie at Disney.
Hmm.
Which, obviously he's not working on that right at this second.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it seems like one of those things where I look at the announcements like, there's some people that are excited, and then there's a lot of people like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Especially, I don't think Russell Crowe will be involved in this. I think it's going to involve the character that is his son, yeah. Lucius.
Wasn't he like Spartacus in the first Gladiator?
He was Maximus.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, because they want to do a sequel, there'd be some problems since, you know, Spartacus died.
Yeah. So.
But, all right. So, anyway. All right, next up, Disney has announced that they are working on a limited series for their streaming service based around Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yep.
That could be all
right. Yeah, that could work.
Featuring those two actors, Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan.
I mean, they got to do something with them. Cause,
Yeah, there's already the thing they're working on, other limited series with various other Marvel heroes. Yeah, that's... could be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm.
And might be a good reason to actually, you know, consider that Disney streaming service.
Yeah, they have Malcolm Spellman is tapped to write this, who worked on Empire. It's one of the executive producers on that series. So,
and that was good.
Yeah. Yep, so it's going to be interesting to see what this whole service is about, because they announced it, but they haven't detailed very much of it. Just all of these, they're working on these various projects. I guess that's supposed to launch sometime next year.
Yep.
All right.
Sometime 2019.
Maybe that's how we get Guardians of the Galaxy 3s. It's a limited series.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway.
Yeah, so next up, we got some Netflix news. On November 16th, Netflix will be releasing a documentary series about a few people in a relationship and relationships with their dogs.
Yep.
Okay.
That's pretty much what it says on the tin.
I'm pretty sure that's a crime in most states.
Not that kind of relationship, dude.
No, it's
feel good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not about how
people and their pets, how they bond, that kind of thing.
Yeah, especially in the world we are in today.
Yeah.
Where it's very divisive, you know, antagonist, all that sort of stuff, and how dogs kind of help everybody out. Because the first episode is about an 11-year-old girl who suffers from traumatic seizures and her service dog, Rory.
Keep an eye on that.
So if you need something positive on Netflix... it seems like that'll be pretty good for that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially depending on how the election goes.
Yeah. All right. Next up, another Netflix story. They have already renewed their Castlevania series for season 3.
Good.
Good.
Yeah. I think season 2 dropped recently. And
last week, yeah. It's
It's good. I mean, Warren Ellis is working on it. You know it's going to be good, but...
I can't help wondering if this is all leading up to a reboot or just really, really ambitious remake of 3.
Could be.
Well, it's basically... I mean, yeah, it is basically the story of Castlevania 3.
Yep.
Yeah. Only with a lot more blood and a lot more swearing.
Yeah.
And goat fucking.
Yeah, that's in there, too. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, maybe they could... if Konami is, you know, actually interested in making games again, then...
that would be a really good project to take up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. All right. And finally, last story for the night. For those of you, we've talked a bit about, you know, about the new Sabrina series.
Yeah.
And if you remember, one of the things about that new series is, you know, she's got like a witch's academy that's there. And
yep, witches serve the Dark Lord.
Yeah.
AKA Satan.
Yeah. And you've probably seen that and you've noticed, wow, that looks awfully familiar. If you've ever heard of Baphomet, that's what it is. Here's the thing, though.
Humanoid goat.
Yeah, humanoid, sort of multi-gendered goat that has both male and female features with wings and a Sadducee sort of a Caduceus symbol on its stomach.
Yeah.
Sun and moon revolving around it. Here's the thing, though. If you've looked closely at that statue that they have there, it's not just any Baphomet that they've got. It looks almost directly like it's copied from the Baphomet statue designed by the Satanic Temple.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you guys remember the Satanic Temple, right? They're the guys who basically formed to sort of one-up the various conservative Christian groups that try to put Christian memorials on public land. And so the Satanic Temple steps in and say, okay, well, you know, it says, you know, religious stuff is okay. Well, we're a religion. We want to put up our piece on Satan.
Yeah.
Hijinks ensue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they've taken umbrage with Netflix over this?
Yep.
Yep. They, let's see. Yeah, they're going to take legal action regarding the Chilling Adventures arena, appropriating our copyrighted monument design to promote their asinine satanic panic fiction. Let's see. They give a statement to the rep here. We've sent Netflix a letter from our lawyers informing them of copyright violation, asking them to take our imagery out of their show. Like, the problem is that's a very public domain design of the of Baphomet.
Pretty much.
So,
yeah, really I just shared a parody that. Of it.
Hmm.
Say it's deeply problematic to us, but even if that wasn't the case, we'd be obligated to make a copyright claim because that's how copyright works. They also think Sabrina depicts its image of Baphomet as evil, which could have a negative effect on this group.
Yeah.
I felt the use of our particular image is recognized as our own central icon, being displayed fictionally as central to some cannibalistic cult has real-world damaging effects for us.
Mm.
It's like, well, you're the Satanic Temple.
Yeah.
It's not exactly like a great image.
Be talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nobody's like, oh, the Satanic Temple, they're a wholesome group.
Yeah. Also, you know, just for the record, the image of Baphomet is one that has a paper trail that goes back as far as the 14th century.
Yeah.
I mean, the name at least started there, and there's a trail where you can see how the image was sort of slowly manufactured over the centuries. It started out like a human skull with that name inscribed on it because it was supposedly a corruption of Mahomet, which was an old-timey version of how you pronounce Muhammad.
Yeah.
And then eventually it was said that the Knights Templar supposedly worshipped it. Then eventually it moved on to the Freemasons. It started showing up in books supposedly about Freemason conspiracies and on tarot cards.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to know Netflix was very well aware of where their imagery was coming from. I'm pretty sure they cleared everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is basically, I think, the Satanic Temple going, hey, we want money.
Yeah.
And
also, because I haven't actually watched Chilling Tales of Sabrina yet, does this particular statue also have, like, two children standing by it? Because the Baphomet statue that the Satanic Temple uses has that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got some images of...
Like, I think one of them's actually sitting in his lap.
No, they're just standing next to it.
Okay. Sorry, that may have been another one. By the way, just for the record, Baphomet's a much cooler-looking deity than the Christian god, so...
Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah, the Christian god is just a dude.
Yeah.
Just a dude.
Dude that died.
Long hair and some scars on his
wrist. I like the way he's presented in The Simpsons where he's just really tall. Nobody just offers him to sit with him and just watch football games.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's chill out.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I do believe we've had a show, folks. So, I would like to remind all of our listeners that if you wish to write into the show, have a question, comment, just something you want us to read on the air, you can contact us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We've got it linked to in the show notes. Also, on top of iTunes, you can catch our lovely little podcast here at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, RSS, Archive.org, and pretty much any place where podcasts just like ours can be downloaded and enjoyed through your ear holes. So, I have been your host of the most, Brandon Perkins. This has been Let's Weekend, and I would just like to say, get out and vote.